me and Dondi tonight for a word of prayer, and also, well, we maybe have a Bible reading also, but maybe just, first of all, we'll just have a word of prayer tonight. Our Father, we bless you and praise you for your mercy and for your goodness toward us, Lord, and we just ask you, Lord, as we gather around your word tonight, that you'll be one of our number, Lord, that you'll come and visit with us. And Lord, we thank you indeed for the songs that we can sing tonight. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us. Lord, you loved us when we were unlovely. And Lord, we thank you, you didn't only love us, but you demonstrated your love at that place called Calvary. Amen. Lord, we thank you for mercy tonight. We thank you for grace. We thank you, Lord, for every good and perfect gift which comes down from the Father of lights in heaven above, with whom there's no variableness nor shadow of turning. Amen. Father, we ask you again tonight for Brother Ian. We pray you'll lift the sickness off him. We pray you'll make him well and make him every bit whole. And bless him and his family, his wife and family at this time, in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, as we turn to your word, we pray you'll open unto us your word, Lord. And we ask you, Lord, that you'd come and be one of our number. That by the Holy Ghost, Lord, you'll visit with us tonight. In Jesus' name, for your honor and glory, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'd like to read a few verses from the book of Isaiah, and it's chapter 28. I've got a marker in my Bible to help me to turn to it quickly. And I want just to read it. Well, I've quite a lengthy portion. And I'm going to begin to read at verse 9. And I want to read down till verse 16. As Isaiah chapter 28, beginning the reading at verse 9, and it says, Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he saith, This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem, because ye have said, We have made a covenant with death and with hell. Are we at agreement? Sorry, the way I read it wrong. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for it made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. You may have your seats tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, I want to speak, if there's such a thing, very briefly tonight about the rest and the refreshing. And this rest that I want to speak about is the rest that comes from God and the refreshing that comes from God, that comes from the Holy Spirit of the living God. And we read it in verses 11 and 12. We read, For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he saith, This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Now, I believe with all my heart tonight that God has got a rest and God has got a refreshing. And You know, also, I don't know, maybe you might say, John, you haven't much of a sermon. No, maybe I haven't got much of a sermon tonight, or maybe I haven't got many words tonight, but listen, if this rest comes on you that I am trying to speak about, you'll know you have it. And if this refreshing comes on you, you will know also that you have it. I want to say that you'll not have this rest and not know it. You'll not have this refreshing and not know it. Now, the prophet Isaiah said, this is the rest, and this is the refreshing, wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. Or this is to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Now that word here in the scriptures, when you read about the word here, it means for to understand. It means also to discern. So you discern the word and you hear the word, you discern the word when you hear it, meaning that you understand the word. Now, let me say this, there's one giver.
Amen.
There's only one giver of this rest, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not another.
Amen.
There's only one giver. Now, perhaps I should say, to have the rest, you need to have a foundation. Now, I'm a terrible man because I read the scripture, you know, and when I read the scripture, I have to go back and read it again. And read it again. And read it again. Now, let me say this. Now, there's lots of things in this portion that I have read tonight, and I'm never going to cover them all, but I want to try to concentrate on the rest. And concentrate on the refreshment. Now, he said, who would he teach doctrine till, or who would he teach understanding till? And he said, them that was weaned off the milk. And with to be weaned off the milk, you have to be onto the meat. Now, I don't claim to have much meat tonight, but I believe I've got a little meat. And I believe that if we can get in contact with the Holy Spirit, that's the meat will come on us. Now, what am I trying to say? Well, this book is full of meat. Now, if you want to have discernment, you need to read the Bible. If you want to have the meat of the Word, you have to read the Bible. And you don't read the Bible once, but you keep on reading the Bible.
Amen.
You keep on searching, and you keep on reading the Word of God. And you know, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
Amen.
Now, when you read the Bible, you get an understanding of truth. That's why we read the Bible. We read the Bible so that we get an understanding of truth. Now, John, I was reading recently in a book about John Wycliffe. I can nearly tell. But he translated the Bible into English. Thank God for men like John Wycliffe. And he translated the scripture into English. So he said the plowman, was him said the plowman would know. And also, he was called the morning star of the Reformation because he preceded Luther by a couple of hundred years. And he came out and he made a statement that he said, if the Church of Rome doesn't speak according to the Word of God, then the Church of Rome must be in error. And also today, we can say anything that doesn't speak according to this word has to be an error, has to be false. It has to be untrue. It doesn't matter how good it sounds. It doesn't matter how good it looks. If it's not in the scripture, you cannot preach it. It has to come from the Holy Book. It has to come from the Holy Bible.
say this, to have a rest, you have to have a foundation. Now our foundation tonight is none other than the Word of God.
Amen.
Let me say also that our foundation is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, you know, I read the scripture and I have to go over it and read it and read it and read it and read it. But I want to point you to maybe what I do sometimes when I try to speak. What I should be saying at the end, I say at the beginning. And what I should be saying at the beginning, I maybe say at the end. But I want to lay this for a foundation tonight. Jesus Christ is the foundation.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the foundation of your faith.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is not only the foundation of your faith, but Jesus Christ is the foundation of your rest.
Amen.
Now, what can I say about a foundation? In the natural, every building needs a foundation to stand on. And every building, no matter how big or no matter how small, the strength of that building standing is the foundation. Take away the foundation and the building will fall. Take away the foundation from the Christian believer and he will fall. Take away Jesus Christ from the believer and he will fall. Take away the preaching of Jesus Christ from the believer and he will not stand. He will not have the rest. Let me say that the rest is preceded by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let me say that every promise of God that's in this book is preceded by Jesus Christ. Let me say also that you could say that Christ prevented us. That means he preceded us. That's an old English word, you know. Prevented is an old English word which means to precede. Now, quickly, let me say this. It's the Lord said through Isaiah the prophet. The Lord said through the prophet. The prophet didn't just say it. The Lord said it.
Amen.
The Lord said through Isaiah the prophet. And he said, this is the rest wherewith you'll cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing. Now let me say, and I'm going to go but to the foundation. And we read about the foundation in verse 16 of Isaiah 28 and verse 16. He says, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation.
Amen.
He that believeth shall not make haste. Oh, I'm glad tonight that we have a sure foundation.
Yes, amen.
And that is Jesus Christ. And we haven't only got a sure foundation, but we've got a precious cornerstone. You know, the cornerstone was very important because it kept the corner. It kept the line. It kept you on the right track. It kept you at that's the boundary, you could say, the corner. Jesus Christ is the boundary. Now let me say this, you can't go beyond the boundary. You can't go beyond Jesus Christ. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in my Lord.
Amen.
And we are complete in him.
Amen.
Don't tell me you need to preach something else. I say we need to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Amen.
And I believe that if we preach Jesus Christ and him crucified, there's enough in Jesus Christ to satisfy the soul. There's enough in Jesus Christ for every need. There's enough in Jesus Christ to meet every need.
Amen.
So he's a precious cornerstone. You know, we heard this morning about the boy who was going to take the school down. And he took a brick out of the wall. And maybe he took a brick out of the corner. But many bricks have we allowed to come out of the wall. Don't allow the bricks out. When you see a brick out, you get it and put it back. Because if we give way, if we turn a blind eye, if we don't hear, if we don't see when bricks is coming out, you know what's happening? The building's coming down. But thank God tonight we have a precious cornerstone. Amen. And you know, it says he would lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone.
Yes,
what did Peter say on the day of Pentecost? Or what did he say when he after he preached at Pentecost? He says, this is the stone.
Yeah.
Who was he talking about?
Yes.
He was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He said, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. He said, the same has become the head of the corner. He said, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name given under heaven among men whereby you must be saved. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You see, people want to set the Lord Jesus Christ at naught. You know, there's writings in here where people have made an agreement with hell and with death. They've made an agreement with hell and death. How do you make an agreement with hell and death? I'm going to tell you very simply, agree with it. That's how you make an agreement with hell. That's how you make an agreement with death. Agree with it. But let me say this. A man or a woman that's born again will not agree with hell and will not agree with death, but they'll disagree with it every time. And every time they hear death and every time they hear hell, they'll disagree with it. But every time they hear Jesus Christ and Him crucified, they'll agree with Him and they'll say, amen, brother, amen, sister.
Amen.
We have no agreement with hell. You know, there's people in this world and they've got an agreement with hell. Because, why have they got an agreement with hell? Because they agree with hell. They agree with darkness. They agree with sodomy. They agree with murder. They agree with unbelief. They agree with unclean living. You know, I heard a man of God preaching once and he talked about the boldness of sin. Well, sin so bold as we're tripping over it today. Where is it? It's in every newspaper. It's on the television. It's not only on the television, it's on the radio. It's through the air. Doesn't the Bible say that Satan is the prince of the power of the air? You know, he advertises 24/7, 7 days of the week. Satan advertises all the time. But thank God we have a sure foundation.
Amen.
Thank God we have a sure foundation. Now, it says a tried stone. You know, that's a sermon on its own. Jesus was tried.
Amen.
Jesus was tested, wasn't it? What about the Gethsemane?
Yes.
What about the time when he sweat as it were great drops of blood? I'll tell you, he said, Father, not my will be done, but thine be done.
Amen.
You know, the Hebrew writer said, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered.
Right.
And you know, Christ did suffer. And he suffered in Gethsemane, didn't he? The Bible says he sweat as it were great drops of blood. You know, we sing the song, he didn't come down from the cross. When he was on that cross, they said, if you're the Son of God, come down and we believe you. He could have called 10,000 angels. But what did he pray? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Amen.
I tell you, he's a tried stone.
Yes, amen.
He was a tried stone. He walked in the wilderness with 40 days and 40 nights, and Satan says, if you're the Son of God, if you are really the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But you know, the Bible says, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God.
Amen.
Oh, I'll tell you what, look at all these kingdoms. I'll give them to you. I'll give them to you, the kingdoms of this world, if you'll fall down and worship me. But Jesus said, get you behind me, Satan. Then he took him up on the pinnacle of the temple and he started to preach to him from the word of God. He said, throw yourself down. Because it's written. Because it's written. Imagine the devil. You know, some of the best preachers, they work for Satan. That's who they're working for. Some of the best preachers work for Satan. If you're the Son of God, you throw yourself down. And it's written that he'll give his angels charge over you, lest you fall and douse your foot of a stone. I tell you, Jesus was tried, but he
yes.
did it.
Amen.
He's able to suffer them.
Amen.
He's able to suffer them because he was tempted
yes.
in all points,
yes.
like as we are,
Amen.
And yet without
Amen.
Sin. Yet without unbelief. Now I have to move on. I don't know when you stand up here. I don't know where the time goes till. It just goes like a shot out of a gun. But he's a tried stone. He's a precious cornerstone, and he's a sure foundation stone. He's a sure foundation.
Amen.
What does that mean? It means what the children said this morning. It means he's the same.
Amen.
He never moves. God never changes. God's a sure foundation.
Amen.
You know, because he's a sure foundation, you can rest upon him.
Amen.
He never changes. Hallelujah. I'm glad he never changes. He's a sure.
Amen.
He's a sure foundation. Now, do you know what you find? Have you ever walked on something that's moving? Well, you have walked maybe on an escalator in the airport. An escalator can take you up or can take you down. And there's also escalators that take you on the level. Could you imagine trying to walk on uneven surface? Or could you imagine trying to walk somewhere where you're on a pathway and the pathway is moving up and down? Well, that's not a sure foundation. A sure foundation never moves.
Amen.
A sure foundation is going to be able to support anything that you put on it.
Yes.
Now, a foundation is tested by the ability of the crushing point. That's how the concrete, when we put concrete into the foundation today, we talk about a 20 Newton, a 30 Newton, a 40 Newton. And that's the crushing point, or that's the power that it takes to crush a cubic of this concrete. And if the concrete's weak, it'll crush easily. But if the concrete's strong, it can't be crushed at all hardly. It takes a lot of pressure. It takes a lot of force. We want you to know tonight that Jesus Christ withstood the pressure.
Amen.
And he's a sure. He's
Amen.
A sure foundation.
Amen.
He's a sure foundation. Now, because he's a sure foundation, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say you can rest upon him.
Amen.
You can rest upon that. Now, what is the rest? What is the rest? You know, this rest that I believe that the prophet's talking about is the Holy Ghost. I believe it's the Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit of the living God coming on you and giving you a rest and giving you a refreshment. Now, let me say this, that the rest and the refreshment can come together. You know, if I said to you, them walls need a refreshment, what would you say back to me? You would say, John, they're not that long, came it. And you know they're not. Them walls doesn't need a refreshment. Them walls is good. Why are they good? They're good because they got a refreshment. They got a touch-up. You know what we need tonight? We need a refresher. We need a touch-up. And I believe that the Holy Ghost wants to give us a top-up. He wants to give us a touch-up. He wants to give us a refresher. And I believe when the Spirit of the Lord comes into a man or a woman's life, that rest can come on them. And you know, when the prophet was speaking here, he says to whom he said, "This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest." Now you see, you're carrying a heavy load. You're going to get weary. If you're dragging something or carrying something, you're going to get weary. And you have to leave it down. You have to get a rest. You have to get a refresher. You know, sometimes when you get tired talking, you take a drink of water. Why do you take a drink of water? You take a drink of water to refresh you. Sometimes people feel ill, feel sick, feel faint, and the best thing you can do for them, I think, I'm not anyway as a doctor or a nurse, but I think if you get them out into the fresh air and let them get some fresh air and give them some water, they'll revive. They'll get a breath of fresh air and they'll get a new breath to get the lungs filled up with fresh air and get a drink of water. It'll bring you around. And you see, until that, you're feeling faint and you're feeling weary. But whenever this rest comes, it takes that all away. And you're refreshed again and you're strengthened again. I believe the Holy Ghost can do that. You know, I've written down some things here. So I have. And I've written down that we need to present a foundation, a building stands on the foundation, and I'm never no good at this, but I want to turn to the book of Acts, and it's chapter 3, I believe it is, it's the book of Acts and it's chapter 3, it's chapter 4, and I have quoted this verse of scripture, but I'm looking for, you know, I did have it written down here somewhere. Well, I apologize for that, because it is chapter 3 and it's verse 19. Now I want to say, as I have been trying to say, that there's no rest without a proper foundation. There's no rest outside of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the rest. But the Spirit of God can come on you to give you rest. Now, I want to say also that there's no refreshing outside of the presence of God. I'm going to say that again. There's no refreshing outside of the presence of God. I want you to know tonight that the refreshing comes from the presence of God. It comes from the Holy Spirit coming over you.
Amen.
And when the Holy Spirit comes over you, it doesn't only come over you, it comes inside of you. And when the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, there comes a well of water springing up out of your innermost being. And I believe that's the refreshing that the Holy Ghost wants to give the body of Christ and the members of Christ. I believe it's the Holy Ghost welling up within you. And I believe tonight with all my heart that you can't have a refreshment without the presence of God. And I believe The scripture tells us that. And it tells us here, and you might say, John, it's only one verse, but listen, there's lots of verses, there's lots of places tonight we could start going through the scripture, but listen to the book of Acts in chapter 19 and verse 3. And Peter's preaching, and Peter has been preaching, and he says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Now, everybody in here, I believe that your sins is already blotted out. But listen to what he says also. He says, "When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Now, that's where the times of refreshing come from, the presence of the Lord. Now, if you can get into the church service, and if you can get into the presence of the Lord in that church service, you will get into the time of refreshing. You will get into the place where God is ministering to you and making his will known to you and meeting your needs and setting you free and giving you something to sustain you and giving you something to strengthen you and giving you something to encourage you. I believe that.
Amen.
It's the Holy Ghost. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Now I want to say something to you tonight. Seek for the old paths and seek for the old ways. Don't be looking for anything new.
Amen.
Look for what these old men had in the book of Acts.
Amen.
Look for what John Wycliffe had. Look for what Luther had. Look for what Wesley had. Look for what Spurgeon had. And look for what Brother Branham had. And you know, God can give you something. We need it. We need it tonight.
Amen.
We need it tonight.
Right.
You know, in my heart tonight, what I think, we need a revival. That's what I really think. We need a revival. You might say, "Oh, John, we're in revival. This will not do. This will not do." You know, when you don't have a foundation, you can't build anything. But when you have a sure foundation, a true foundation, you can build. And you know, Peter talked about times of refreshing coming from the presence of the
Amen.
Lord.
Now,
there was a time of refreshing in the 20th century, and somebody said, "Well, it's spent. Is God spent?" Do you know an old word for spent? Exhausted.
Yes.
Is God exhausted? Is God tired tonight? Is God weary? Is he weary with some people, what way they pray? Is he weary with some people, what way we worship? Is he weary, what way we talk? Or what way we act? But let me say, God doesn't get weary.
Amen.
God's not a man. God doesn't need to say, "I better go and lie down, I'm tired. You know, I don't want to get off my subject," but when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he wasn't dependent on the blood in his body or the oxygen in his blood. He had a resurrected body, and he could change any moment, and he could come through the wall. Hallelujah! And he said, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and of death." And he said to the people, "If I've told you earthly things and you believe not, how are you going to believe when I tell you heavenly things?" And he said, "What if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?" He said, "It's the Spirit that quickeneth."
Amen.
The flesh profiteth nothing. Oh, God, help us to get in the Spirit. God, help us to walk in the Spirit. Apostle Paul says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above."
Amen.
He says, "The flesh profiteth nothing." You know, We're again the clock all the time here. You know, God needs to send us a revival.
Amen.
Needs to send us a revival. We need a revival. You know what we need to do? We need to start praying for a revival. I believe that. I believe we need to start praying for a time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And you know, whenever the presence of the Lord comes in the room, Brother Branham said there was absolutely no doubt when he comes. Mm-hmm. That's what he said, there was no doubt. Now, we read, the time would fail us tonight to try to talk all about the rest. There's a rest for the people of God.
Amen.
The Bible talked about the people in the wilderness and they didn't enter into the rest. Why? Because of unbelief. Because of unbelief. May the Lord help our unbelief tonight. May we say, Lord, I believe and I'm going to receive. I'm going to act upon what you have said in your words.
Amen.
And I believe when we, and now I'm not accusing us of not doing that tonight. Don't get me wrong. But I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to ask the Lord for that refreshment. I want to encourage you to seek for that refreshment.
Amen.
To seek for that rest. You might say, Brother John, I have it. Well, the Lord can give you more of it.
Amen.
He can give you more of that rest. He can give you more of that refreshment. Why? Well, if you're weary, that's what you need. If you're weary tonight, that's what you need. I believe the Lord can do it.
Amen.
You know, thank God for his presence. I believe Jesus is the key.
Yes.
And I believe the foundation is very important. And I believe that there's no such thing as a refresher or a refreshing experience without the presence of God.
Amen.
And you know, we just need to come into his presence and we can come in boldly.
Amen.
And believe God. Hallelujah. You know, I want to just come now for a moment. And it's just gone after 7 with me. It's getting dark in here, isn't it? You know what I'd like to see sometime, and it might never happen, but I'd like to see in the winter time church service starting in Scarborough Orange Hall at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's right, 3 o'clock. Why 3 o'clock? Because it's more light. Jesus said the night time cometh whenever no man can work. Now, he's talking about whenever you fall asleep. But I'm not, you might say, John, you're only complaining. No, it's too dark in here now. It's too dark in here now. You know what this reminds me of now? No disrespect to anybody. It reminds me of the telly lamp. Telly lamp. Most of you is too young to remember it. I can remember being in the house years ago when the woman got up to light the telly lamp and we're sitting in the dark. Now, there's a bit of light when she lit it. But why 3 o'clock? You know, I know a lot of people tonight that are working, and maybe some of the men, we know Brother Ian's not well. Where is everybody? Where are they? Where is everybody? Now we say we have a message. We say we have something that somebody else hasn't got. And we say the Lord's coming back again. Why so? You see, I never turned to Jeremiah, but when you go home, will you do something for me? Will you turn up to Jeremiah chapter 6, and when you read Jeremiah chapter 6 and read from verses 10 down till, or forgive me, read from verse 10 down to the end of the chapter, but you'll read where he says, ask for the old paths.
Amen.
Ask for the old ways. You know, I can remember being in the denomination. Boy, the denomination was false. Didn't have all the truth. But listen, I can can remember being in an all-night prayer meeting in a denomination, in an all-night prayer meeting. I can remember being in a half-night of prayer. Half-night of prayer. You went home at 3 o'clock in the morning. You went home at 2 o'clock. Sometimes you didn't get home to 4 o'clock. You prayed all night. I can remember being in a week of prayer. A week of prayer. I can remember when it was called a day of prayer and fasting. What's wrong with us? What is wrong with us? Have we sat down? Have we said, oh, it's over? You know, the Bible says without a vision the people perish. You know, I'm taking up a lot of your time, maybe, but listen. September is a very special month for me. It is. Especially the 16th of September. Thursday, the 16th of September, 1993. If I'm living till Monday, not tomorrow, but the following week, it'll be the 16th. Now, I may be wrong when I say that. You can check it out. But that'll be 26 years ago. 26 years ago, I was 26 years younger. When I walked in at Fee, and the angels of the Lord came down. You know, I believe I met with God. I believe I met with a pillar of fire. I believe the cloud that led the children of Israel came in the field. I believe the cloud that was on the Mount of Transfiguration came in the field. And the angels came out. And let me say, they made a wheel in a wheel in a wheel like Ezekiel saw. And when they went and they could go and come. And there's nothing can move like an angel. But let me say this. It'll be 26 years in another week and a day. It'll be 26 years ago. I believe I'm responsible. I believe I've got something to say about that. About the catching away. And you know there's loads of people that didn't believe a word of it. Well, let me say this, that is not my responsibility, and it will not affect me one way or the other if they don't believe any of it. But I know I was there when it happened, and I want to say, if God ever speaks to you one time, you'll not need somebody else to tell you that He spoke to you. You will know He spoke to you, and you will hear when He speaks to you, and you'll understand. Hallelujah. And you know what Lord said, I always maybe struggle to try to give a testimony about this, but let me say this. He said the angels of the Lord will come down and they'll catch you away. And He said they're waiting and they're ready to come now, and they can come immediately when I give them the command. That's 26 years ago. You know, I have to ask myself, what have I done with that? I'm guilty. You might think you're guilty. Well, I'm guilty. Guilty of what? Guilty of doing nothing. You know, do you know what a man said to me one day? He said, John, that church that you go to, what kind of a church is it? He says, I'm led to believe it's a Presbyterian-based church. That's what he said. A Presbyterian-based church. Now, what do you think of that? You might say, John, we're anything but Presbyterian. Well, listen, if you're up in front of the judge, What have you got to prove that you're not? I'm asking. I tell you. The world, you know what else? Now let me say this, and I'm not here to offend anybody. Don't want to offend anybody. You never build up people with offending them. You build people up with love and telling them the truth. But you know the other one that we're accused of? Now you might know this, you might know this more than me. We're accused of being a cult. We're accused of being a cult. But you know, we ought to be more concerned. You know, they might accuse us of being a cult, but if we preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified,
amen,
they can't accuse you of anything.
That's right.
Only of being a Christian.
Amen.
Now, some people jump off the seat when Brother Branham's mentioned.
Yes.
Not in here, but I've seen it. Jumping out of the seat when Brother Branham was mentioned. You can mention the Lord Jesus Christ all night, they'll never move. Something wrong.
Yes.
Something wrong.
Amen.
You see, we need to ask God for the old paths and the old ways. You know what we need? We need an outpouring of the Holy Ghost to come on us.
Yes.
Don't tell me the gifts is on the shelf. No. Let me say, when I was in Pentecostal circles, and I'm saying that it wasn't altogether, things wasn't altogether right, and things wasn't altogether true, but the first morning that I went back to church after meeting with the Lord, I went into that room and I sat down and I waited to see. I watched the corner, the right-hand corner at the top, because I thought the pillar of fire was going to come through and come and manifest Himself in that room. See, God's real. He's not a make-believe. He's a genuine article. He's a genuine Holy Ghost. I was waiting for Him to come. You know, you should never boast, and I don't want to sound boastful, but when I was in denominational circles, I was in a prayer meeting when the Holy Ghost came down and said, "Say whatever you will, and it'll happen. Say whatever you will, and it'll happen." I've been in a room where the Holy Ghost came and the power of God came, and God says, "What do you want?" And I didn't know what I wanted really. What do you want? But you know what? How you get there? I'll tell you how you get there. You get there with hunger. Hunger. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Oh, God, fill us to full and overflowing with the Holy Ghost and fire. You know, when the Lord comes back again, I said this before, and I'm going to say it again. You say it, John, you're all the time repeating yourself. Well, I know you maybe, there's maybe not much to keep us here. There's not much to keep anybody here. But when the Lord comes, and you know, if you're privileged to go and they're catching up, the first thing that you're going to think about while you're going and being taken, now you're not going, you have to be took. And the first thing that you're going to think about whenever them angels come to take you is the people that are left behind. People that are left behind. That's the first thing you're going to think about. Now, I'm as guilty as everybody. I'm guiltier because I know the difference. Maybe you don't know the difference. I'm guiltier. Praise the Lord.
You know,
we say the Lord's coming back again. Do we really believe it? Do we really believe it? Are we really doing all we can to get others ready? May the Lord help us. May the Lord bless us. You know, maybe I've overdone it tonight in what I'm saying. I can remember standing down Galway one September night, and there was a window, and there was lights. It was a shop window, and there was lights in the window, and they were going up and round and swirling and coming back and going back and forth and swirling round and round. And I remember standing looking at it and saying, you know, that's the same as the angels. That's the way they moved. Just swirling round and round and back and forth and up and down. You know, I said this down in Australia, when you go to the airport and you want to get on the flight, you have to watch for the gate opening. And when you see the gate opening, you make your way to the gate and you get on board the plane. And you have to go to the gate and get on the plane. If you don't, you're going to miss your flight. But when the angels come, you don't have to go anywhere, because they come to where you are. And they'll catch you away and take you. And you only have to travel from the ground to the cloud, and that's not going to be far. Just a few yards. And when you get in that cloud, you're gone. Hallelujah. You know what else I'm going to say? I'm coming to the close. I'm going to say this to you tonight, because I know it to be the truth. The devil hates to hear that. He hates it. Why does he hate it? He hates it because there's people that will never taste death. That's why he hates it. You know, I said he was very cheeky and he's very bold. And you know, there's some filthy newspapers, maybe you could call them that, or magazines, and they're pushed through the letterbox, or their advertisements pushed through the letterbox. And you know, one of the biggest advertisements, and I'm not saying I'm never going to die, I probably could be dead, I could be the next person here to fall asleep. But listen, they'll send a thing through your letterbox, and you know what it's called? Over 50s plan. What's it for? Pay for your own funeral. I said to my wife, why don't we get the pick and shovel and go up and dig our own grave? But they want you to pay for your own funeral, so they couldn't get the money after you're gone. They can't want you to pay. They want you to pay. Pay for your own funeral. Wonder if went down and had a word with Enoch. What way did it got on? Wonder if they went down and said, Enoch, you better pay up now, brother, because you're going to need a grave, and it's going to cost you £3,000 and more. That's a cheap one, Enoch. You better get the wallet out. You better get the checkbook out. And I'll tell you what, Enoch, I'll make it easy for you. I'll give you easy payments for death. Wonder what Elijah would have said if the had went down to Elijah. And said, Elijah, look, it's time you had a grave plot. Now, I think I own 5 or 6 graves. I got them given to me. Now, I might be in there one day. I might be. But if I'm not, I'm not worried. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. You see, I love the story that Brother John McFadden told, and I'm coming to the close, but he said the man came round their house and he was selling graves. And they said, I don't think I need it. And he looked at Brother John in amazement, and he looked over at the wife, Maureen, and Maureen Dunn. He's right. So the man packed up his case and out he got. But could you imagine them going down to Elijah, trying to sell him a grave. I tell you, one of these days is going to be over.
Amen.
One of these days. Now, I'm sorry, I've taken up a lot of your time. The time is gone. Why am I saying these things? I'm saying these things because Jesus is coming again.
Yeah.
I'm saying these things because we're responsible. We're responsible. We're responsible. We call ourselves a bride. Yes, we're responsible. We call ourselves a church. Yes, we're responsible. I say we need revival. I say we need a refresher from the presence of the Lord. We need this rest to come on us. And I believe God can do it. Let's pray. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Lord, tonight I thank you and praise you. I thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to speak your word. Lord, may no one be offended by anything that was said tonight. But rather, Lord, may they take the rest from you and the refresher from you. And may that rest come on each dear brother and sister in this room. And that refreshing from your presence, Lord. And Lord, create soul thirst for thee.
Yes.
And hungering for the bread of life. Oh, may our spirits be. We say, revive thy work, O Lord. Make bare thy holy arm. Descend, O gracious Lord, descend. O come and bless us now. Lord, fill the men and women with your Holy Spirit. And set us on fire in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Lord, meet needs in this room tonight. We think again of Brother Jeff's father. We ask you, Lord, you'll touch him. We ask you, Lord, you'll raise him up. And you'll make him every whit whole. We think, Lord, of everyone tonight who needs a touch from you. Lord, we think of brothers and sisters tonight who are maybe working or not well or some way laid aside. Lord, we ask, Lord, if they're sitting at home tonight and they're well and in full health, we pray you'll speak to them. And show them, Lord, that they ought to be in a church. Lord, I say revive your work in the midst of the years. In Jesus' name. And Lord, let the rest that comes from you, let the refreshment that comes from you be upon each dear soul. In Jesus' name. For your honor and glory, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, Brother Guy's going to come, but I wonder, Guy and Sister Alva, could we sing a verse or two of that hymn? I think our sister was playing it earlier. 617. I look up here, I've got the book. It's in the Redemption of Matthew. 617. And it says, in tenderness he sought me, weary and sick with sin, and on his shoulders brought me back to his fold again. You know, I didn't say it, but a refreshment is more of the same thing. A refreshment is not anything new, but it's something being done again. No new thing of refreshment. A refreshment is what it says it is. It's a refreshment. A refresher coat. A refresher course. Expected from the presence of the Lord. You know, the last verse of this hymn says, there's five verses. Have you got five verses, Matthew? Verse 5. So while the hours are passing, all now is perfect rest. You know, God wants to give us perfect rest. I'm waiting for the morning, the brightest and the best, when he will call us to his side. We'll be with him. What's that last one, Langer?
We'll be with him.
Oh. You know, there's a guy preaching one time, Matthew, and he said, God's chariot had no reverse gears. And it had no woes in it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm struggling to see this in the dark. Two, that there should read T-O, not W-O. To be with him, not woe be with him. Woe's a rebuke. To be with him, his spotless bride. You know something? The Lord's not ashamed to call you his brother or his sister. He's not ashamed to call you his spotless bride. You ought to act like it. Not right, we ought to act like it. He's not ashamed to call you his brother. He's not ashamed to call you his sister. He's not ashamed to call you his brother. His spotless bride.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Why, you know, I never done anything more than you. All I ever done was repent. I'm going to say that again. I've never done anything more than you. All I ever done was repent and ask the Lord to save me. And ask him to fill me with the Holy Ghost. And I want to say this. That's the criteria for going and catching up. There's none other.
No.
There's none other. That's enough. If you have your sins forgiven, if you're covered by the blood of the Lamb, and if you have the Holy Ghost, you're a candidate to go in the catching away. There's nothing on a mountain event to change my mind. Or there's nothing on a mountain event to make you ready. It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what makes you ready. Praise the Lord. Amen.